Bienvenue au train des yeux. Nous sommes ici à jouer au basketball. Il va vous conduire à la victoire. Car bonne la lente grande effort. Et l'esprit du bel an qui vit en tous les mans. Et l'esprit qui ne meurt jamais. Parce que basketball, oui, basketball a arrivé.
Jouer.
Welcome to BizCast Ball, the Basketball BizCast. My name is Corbin Smith. Just an interview today. I'm here with basketball legend Michael Jordan. Michael, of course, won 6 titles with the Chicago Bulls in the 1990s. Say hi to the people, Michael. All right, well, you know, this only works if you talk, Michael. Okay, I don't quite understand why you flew thousands of miles just to sit. He's gone. All right. Well, yeah. Pretty big get. Guess he was just messing with me, though. Thankfully, I have a backup interview. I spoke today in person at Torque Coffee in Vancouver, Washington, with Eric Gunderson. Eric is the Blazers writer for the Columbian, which is the local paper here in Vancouver. We talk about the Blazers and some other things. Enjoy. There is some ambient noise. Just let it transport you to the place where the interview takes place. It's very modern. Frederick Wiseman-esque, I would even say. All right, we're here with Eric Gunderson. Eric is a Blazers writer for the Columbian, which is the official paper of Clark County in Vancouver, Washington. My hometown paper.
Yep.
Is this correct?
Yes, this is all correct. Thanks for it's a pleasure to be on BizCast Get Ball.
BizCast Ball.
BizCast Ball. I've tried to say that about 8 times before we got on here, and I still can't say it, but thank God for you.
Now, you are a reporter.
Correct.
Who writes about the Portland Trailblazers. You also do some sort of bloggy things about the Portland Trailblazers, that would be safe to say.
Yes.
Sort of an integrated approach a little bit.
Yeah. It's two different approaches. There's a, you know, the traditional print writing, you know, more closely aligned to AP style type stuff with, you know, game recaps and things like that, and then some features from time to time, you know, when the opportunities present themselves, and then all the blog stuff, where I can, you know, get a little bit more inside basketball type stuff on the blog.
It's very good. It's very good. Eric is the Blazer writer. I read it personally. I'm not trying to throw any other writers on the bus. Can't remember their names right now. Casey Holdall. I'm not trying to throw Casey Holdall under the bus.
Casey's my dude.
But Eric is the one I like to read. So I decided to talk to him today about the Portland Trailblazers.
I appreciate that, and thank you for reading.
So the Blazers are good.
Yes.
They're very good.
I would agree.
I personally am aggressively a pessimistic person and did not think that the Blazers would be as good this year as they were last year. But they have been as good this year as they were last year.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
It's weird to imagine that a team with a bunch of young players that are all, you know, all got better. You know, besides Aldridge, I mean, he's, like, going to be 30 soon. But everybody else is, like, 25, 26, 27, 28. You know, they're all getting better. It just seems like that's what, I mean, at least with Wesley Matthews, that's...
Yeah,
Wesley Matthews has been amazing.
Batum has not been amazing. No. Let's talk about Batum first.
Yes.
He's been... The thing with Batum, I think, in his entire time with the Blazers, is that he's inconsistent, but it's not always the worst thing. Like he tends to fill one thing or one need or the other in a given game. But this year, he's mostly been Nicholas Batum, which is to say, very aggressively, consistently not great. Consistently sort of not great Batum.
Right.
Particularly his shooting has been a little off. Do you have any insider's knowledge on the matter?
I know that when I asked him about his shooting after the Memphis game, that's when he started talking about how he doesn't have his rhythm back ever since his PRP injection into his knee.
Now, this is the Kobe procedure, right? Or is this another thing?
This is a different blood thing, I think. It's like supposed to help healing with like an actual injury that's currently happening or whatever it is.
It's not like PRP, which is just sort of, it's just not like the Kobe thing, which is just sort of.
I think
pain.
A Kobe thing is like called like.
It's platelet.
That's a different, that's another scandal. It's Regenokine.
Yeah, yeah. They put, I mean, yeah. The Kobe thing, they put a bunch of crap in your blood or something.
Yeah, and I like the platelet rich plasma, they spin it or whatever. And they, anyway, he got the injection. And he says that he hadn't got his rhythm back. And then, like, the next day he was saying, well, I can't have any excuses. And so, I mean, I know he played a lot this summer. And yes. Not only played a lot this summer, like, carried a team on his back.
Was very good this summer.
Very good this summer. That's the other thing. And I wonder, he won't cop out to it because, you know, he can't, you know, publicly.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to wonder, you know, I think he got one practice off during training camp. And then one of the two-a-day practices off, so I think it was the afternoon off, and then the rest of the time he's practicing the whole time with the team. So, you know, it could be maybe a little bit of tiresome, you know, of him being tired in addition to the injury. But, you know, you don't want to, he's never going to cop to that. But, you know, fair wonder how that, the toll that that took on him being the best player on the team to have to take, like, every shot.
Now, I don't... One of the things about Batum is that at his best, I think he really tends to avoid some of the ideas about what a good player is. There's not a sense that you're getting a consistent thing from him every night, but a good night for him can mean all kinds of different things. I think he has the Blazer record for most three-pointers made in a game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But at the same time, like, he'll just put out weird 9 assists, 10 rebound kind of stays, triple doubles, crap like that. He has a 5x5 in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But lately it's just been...
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I'm not... I haven't really judged his individual... His defense. The Blazers' defense has gotten better, but...
Yes.
You know, they can't have... Their defense has gotten better, but they really can't have that... come so much at the expense of Knicks shooting, because if they have a person on, what makes the Blazers so great and so difficult to guard is they have three three-point shooters around Aldridge, one guy who does the dirty work, and then just letting him go. If you don't have to guard one of those guys, like, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's still been good with pick and rolls with Lopez and things like that.
It's surprising how good they are at that together.
Yeah, they are really good. And you know, that's a really good duo, and that's been a decent play, but, you know, and his mid-range shots have been okay, but, you know, still, that three-point shot is just really
concerning. Yeah, it's really in the tank.
Because teams are just leaving him wide open, and they don't have to pay for anything.
And so, it's important, and as I said, it's important with motion, because you're not creating things. You are depending on your spacing to make offense for the team.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you definitely... If you're the Blazers, I mean, Stotts basically said, like, he's not worried about it, it'll turn around. But, you know, and then he was talking about how Wesley Matthews was in a slump. But, you know, Batum's been in a slump for about 10 games now. And, you know, Wesley Matthews was, like, 3.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't say he's in his head a little bit, but he's struggling. And, I mean, he knows it. He's trying not to think about it. But, yeah, that would be a concern going forward if he continuously can't shoot over 30% from 3, like that's
a problem.
That's a major
that's
problem.
That's a problem. That's get too takey on here.
Yeah. Well,
that's a problem, Eric.
Yeah. What takes?
I got so many. Wes has been incredible this year. It is obscene how he gets better
every year. Yeah. And
part of the reason I think I thought the Blazers would probably regress, and to be honest, they've had an easy schedule. They could. There could be... The regression monster could be right around the corner.
Right. Of course.
But part of the reason is that basically everybody on the team had the best year of their career last year.
Right.
But Wes has just been better. Like,
yeah.
Like, Batum's been bad, but Wes has been better.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I don't know if maybe watching this you feel like this, but when I'm watching Matthews more, it seems like when he has the ball in his hands, he's almost controlling the game more when he's out there now. It feels like he's, like, a little bit more almost dominant in the way he's getting his points. You know what I'm saying?
Sort of?
Maybe?
I read a thing that that I think sort of described what he does to me, and I think Arnovitz said it. He said that every time Wes is out there, the only thing that he's doing is looking for an advantage to press.
Right.
Every time. So he'll post up, but only if he's only if it's going to work. Mm-hmm. He's running around screens unless... he does that all the time.
Right.
But he's just constantly looking for what is going to work in right. the offense. Like, he's not... He doesn't... He has one move, step back, and everything else is like...
It all comes...
It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What can I do to improve the offense? He's a tremendous player. I don't know if his defense is as good as people say it is, but...
Right. He's a little undersized. He's not quite as big as, you know...
But he tries.
But he tries. And he, you know, that's... And that, a lot of, you know... At least in the regular season, just trying every night is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, when guys can't bring it every night like he does, so...
So I... sit in a locker room sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I have an inquiry. I'm not generally interested in personality crap. I don't care. I don't know. I don't care.
Right. It's not that.
Usually.
Yeah.
Wes seems like a very intense person.
Very.
Is that like a palpable thing?
Oh yeah. Wes is pretty high strung. I mean, before his heart stuff. I mean, he still said. I mean, all NBA players, they, you know, kind of can't sleep, really, but Wes, like, really, like, he talks about it, like, he doesn't go to sleep, like,
oh, wow.
like he's always thinking, like, his mind is always, like, going, and he's very much, and, you know, he, in the locker room, if there's a conversation, he'll be the one that's, like, you know, starting it up and, like, kind of, like, getting on, like, Alan Crabb, like, him and Alan Crabb, like, he'll always love to bug Alan Crabb and give Alan Crabb a little jab.
Who wouldn't?
And so he's, yeah, he's really that guy, and, you know, a lot of times he can kind of carry a little bit of a vibe or conversation that's going on in the locker room. I think the other day, actually, Michael Rice, my editor, wrote about this in a notebook. They were having a discussion about coffee, and Wes is a big coffee drinker, but only.
I don't mean to cast. Wes, if you're listening to this, maybe that has something to do with your problem sleeping.
It could be.
I don't drink coffee personally.
Right.
I've had an anxiety issue in my life.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to aggravate it. Anyway, go on.
And
Wes loves coffee.
Wes loves coffee. Apparently, though, only loves coffee in Portland. Does not drink coffee on the road.
Does not drink coffee. And where's Wes from?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay. Yeah, Marquette. Only drinks coffee in Portland.
That's what he said. At least when we were there. So I'll have to take him at his word. Apparently, he doesn't drink coffee on the road.
Does he drink coffee on the road?
That's what he said he doesn't.
Is Portland just the only place he's had good coffee?
It might be. He might. I mean, I know the Blazers serve Stumptown.
They do.
So
why local brew?
Yeah.
Widely regarded.
Yes.
As being a very good brew.
So, you know, it seems like he's a little bit, you know, coffee snob.
Oh wow. That's not good.
I know. It could be why he's so high strung all the time. But
he'll be in Portland forever.
Yeah,
maybe that's the case.
I mean, I guess he's gonna get a hometown discount just for that coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe Olshay will bring him down a couple of $1 million.
I mean,
the coffee bump.
Just because he can't go out. Just because he can't go out.
Right.
Get the good stuff.
Exactly.
No matter where he goes.
Yeah. So yeah, he'll be missing that.
You know, you play for the Spurs. Those guys are drinking Folgers every day.
Oh, God.
Poor. It's poor bastard.
It's God. You know, it's only Folgers. I mean. Maybe Tony Parker gets a French roast, but I don't know.
Boris probably.
Boris is probably more concerned about the coffee than Tony. But
Boris seems like a man of extraordinary pleasure.
He seems like...
I don't think there's an NBA player I associate more with pleasure than Boris Diaw.
I'd have to agree with you.
Yeah.
I think he's... First of all, his pleasure per 100 possessions is off the chart.
Very high. It's insanely high.
It is very high. And then, you know, then you just look at him. Like, I mean, he's wearing, like, when I saw him when the Blazers played the Spurs, I mean, he's wearing, you know, pinstripe, nice suit. Like, he just looks like he's so much pleasure.
I'm low-key surprised he doesn't wear a robe around.
That's something that we should probably... You know, maybe float to his Twitter account, Boris. You know, have you ever thought about wearing...
Boris about 30, 31 right now?
Yeah, around there, I think so.
So, he's second year, I think second year, 3-year contract, somewhere around that. I think Boris gets one more contract after this, and that's when he starts to, like, go full rogue.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
I'm so excited for Final Contract DL. Like, how much how much is he going to weigh? Like, what is premium feels going to be?
When DL is washing out of the league, it's going to be unbelievable. Another thing I love about Boris is that I feel like he's an artist. Because he was on the Bobcats, and he was bad and poofy and, like, annoyed, right? And he forces his way off the team, and he gets on the Spurs, and he's good again. These are the whims of an artist. Because an athlete is like the eternal competitor, right? Wes Matthews.
He would not even have gone to Charlotte.
Or any team. Yeah. Wes Matthews is, no. It's not that Wes wouldn't have gone to Charlotte. It's that Wes would have gone to Charlotte, and he would have been convinced that he could have done something.
Right.
He could have ran around the screen just fast enough to get the Bobcats where they needed to go. Boris is just like completely realistic, completely disengaged, because this is not a place where he can make his art. So he just checks out. He's great. I love it.
Yeah, it is refreshing to see. And maybe that's something, I think he really is. There's something to that. He treats the game more as an artist than, I guess, as a just a competitor for the final score.
Yeah, it's about, because at one point I think he's on the bottom. There's an article about Boris out there. Abrams wrote it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good.
I saw that one.
It's very, very good. I think I've read it multiple times. It's one of my favorite all-time article is the one about Rasheed Wallace playing at the North Carolina Pro-Am. But I totally forgot what I was talking about. Next thing.
Boris, so much pleasure. I think we can.
I don't know if this would have worked under the cap. I'm not smart about these things. I wanted the Blazers to try to sign Boris so bad.
I don't think it would have. I don't know what Boris's deal was.
Because we pretty much.
Do you remember what Boris's deal was?
I think it was probably more than Kamen's. Kamen has the big MLE, right?
Right. Yeah, and they couldn't combine the two exceptions either. So yeah, it was kind of. Though Kamen, back to the Blazers real quick.
Okay. So if the Blazers are better this year,
right,
it's probably because their bench is better.
Yes. And
Chris Kamen is part of the reason for that, because he is a center who is a backup center who is good, unlike all other backup centers.
Yes, and I looked at, Kamen is second on the team behind Aldridge in usage rate. And I think Stotts has found a little bit of a formula here for his second unit. He's basically just made a worse version of the starting lineup.
Okay.
Around Kamen with the bench. He goes high usage big man.
Uh-huh.
Scrappy big man with Joel Freeland.
And Joel's very good.
He's very scrappy, but he basically does exactly what Lopez does for him. He rolls to the rim, he sets screens, he maybe occasionally will get a post touch. Good defender.
Excellent post defender. Yeah. A better post defender than
great
Lopez.
Great verticality, he can test shots.
Yeah.
So you've got high usage big man, you've got dirty work big man, and then you have shooters all around those guys, basically. Steve Blake, and then Alan Crabb or McCollum. Barton has not been very good this year.
No.
He struggled.
It's a bummer.
Right. It is.
Everybody wants Barton to be good so bad.
Yeah.
And it's so.
It's. I mean, it is a bummer. He's had a rut. He wasn't taking a lot of threes. I think he probably won't talk about this, but I think the Blazers tried to make him more into a distributor facilitator guy, which, like, more they try to make. Stotts has compared him a couple times to Batum, and. This is maybe just me talking, but I don't know if that's necessarily what you want him to do. He can score, he can pass, but is that what you want him to do first?
Yeah, I think you probably want him to shoot and defend first.
Right, exactly. And so I think they may have confused him a little bit. But besides that, Crabb and McCollum have been great shooting the ball.
McCollum's been okay.
McCollum's been okay.
I'm very suspicious of McCollum.
Are you suspicious of that 24 net rating on the court?
Yeah, and he's older.
Yes.
I think the Blazers think old point guard is an inefficiency, and they've hit on it once.
Right.
Because they got Nolan, too, who was the worst basketball player I've ever seen. Made me physically uncomfortable.
He was terrible.
He's very bad at basketball.
Very nice guy. I'm just going to say this right now from having, interviewed him a couple times, but, man, it was like watching, like, I don't know what song it would be that would be playing while he was out on the court, but it was just not a pleasant song.
It was like wah wah wah, but like unbelievably long.
Yeah,
just like stretched
just,
out.
Just too long. And now he's.
It was like if you had a guitar and you were set up to next to the amplifier, and then you got another amplifier, and it was creating a feedback, and it played wow for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that would be. I saw that he got signed to the 76ers farm system, the 87ers.
Oh, congratulations!
So he'll probably end
D-League,
up.
D-League quality of play in the D League is really shooting out with those Turkish League washouts. You know what? He. Oh my God!
I could see him being signed on the Sixers like in like February.
Yeah, because they need to lose.
Of course.
Oh my God! I was watching the Sixers the other day.
They're so disgusting.
I was watching a good game of theirs. They played the Mavericks. And it was not a disaster. It was not a disaster. They still lost behind. Williams had a triple-double. KJ McDaniels had his career high. I think Noel was okay. And they still lost. But it wasn't, embarrassing.
It was when they played, maybe like...
And Dirk wasn't playing.
Wow.
Yeah, they're very bad. It's hard to imagine they're not... That when all is said and done, they're not going to be the worst NBA team of all time.
They have to be the worst NBA team of all time.
I just can't even imagine.
I guess the only thing that I can say about their team this year is KJ McDaniels is cool.
Yeah.
And, that's the only thing that they have really going for them right now, because Noel's been bad most of the year, because they're not trying to win. So, just,
Yeah. Can I tell you? I think KJ's going to get traded.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's too good?
I think he's just good enough that they think that they can extract value out of him. I think they're going to sell him on a low first-round pick.
That is a very interesting move, but that's another asset. You know,
they love assets. That's all they love.
They love assets more than basketball players.
I think at a certain point, Hinkie's gonna have the trophy in his hands, and then he's gonna shake because he realizes that this is what he wanted all these years, was this Larry O'Brien trophy that is cradling in his hands.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid's in the other room, just partying.
Rihanna's in there.
Yeah, everything has gone right, and then he can't handle it at all, and he just wants to trade the trophy
for assets.
He's just, can't we?
I want 78 second round picks.
Can I get picks out of this? he just won't understand it anymore.
Oh man.
Blazers had a pretty easy start.
Yeah.
This.
They beat Dallas. And they beat them down too. It was bad.
But other than that, they got waxed by the Grizzlies.
Yes, they did. Let's talk about something that you tweeted out during the game.
Oh, okay.
About Memphis, are they deeper than the Blazers?
Oh, absolutely.
I think they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
I think we got an at during after that. That was like, first of all, no. And it's like, I mean, John Lauer and Costa can ball.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, good backup big men, don't exist.
No. And, Portland has them, San Antonio has them, and the Grizzlies
Portland
have
them. has one good back. And you know, Joel has his,
has
Joel him. Has his virtues, but...
He's allowed to be on the court.
Yeah, saying he's good is a stretch.
Right.
I think. But Costa's a good player. Lauer's a good player. They have so many... There are three wings on the team that could start.
Yeah.
Tony's awesome. Tony's my favorite player to watch in person.
He just doesn't ever give up on anything. It's just, yeah.
He's marching up and down the court yelling. Tony, if you get to see a game in person kind of close, see the Grizzlies, and you will not take your eyes off Tony. Anyway, sorry, I don't mean to.
No.
Tony's good. Pondexter's good. Courtney Lee, Vince. There's four excellent, good solid wings.
Calathes is buried on the bench, and he was good last year.
I think Calathes might be still serving his steroid.
He's back now.
Oh, he is?
He's back now. But Baino took his spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still have, Calathes doesn't even play.
Tayshaun Baino sucked on the Knicks last year.
Yeah, because the Knicks ruin everybody.
Anyway, weird.
Oh, Knicks, whoa, they suck. But and then Tayshaun Prince doesn't even play on the Grizzlies, and
When Tayshaun Prince does play, there's like a feeling that it's respect minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, he gets him because he plays hard in practice.
Yeah, there's 10 players on that team who are NBA players.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm 100% willing to say that 7 Blazers are NBA multi-year contract type players.
Yeah, basically it's the starters plus
Kamen and Blake. I'm so annoyed that Blake's good.
Yeah, I think
when they signed him, I was so like, oh my god, I gotta root for Steve Blake.
Yeah. And then he came and he was like, I think a lot of the things that maybe Portland fans maybe had against him, I think we should maybe redirect some of those critiques towards Nate McMillan for forcing Steve Blake into a starter's role.
When
Dre was on the team.
Yeah. God bless him.
I mean, like, I think that was probably the worst thing about Steve Blake's career, was not even his play, but just the fact that Nate started him so much. And I mean, he's good, but he's not 30 minutes of basketball.
No.
Like, he's better every night good.
He's better than Mo.
He is better than Mo because he does this thing that's called defense.
Yeah. Oh, Mo was so bad at defense. Oh, Mo was so fresh. Were you covering the team last year?
Yes.
I've only heard nice things about Mo.
They all love him.
As a person to cover and as a person to be around. But holy moly, he is frustrating to watch.
And I will say this, if you ever had to ask him for something, like, if you need a quote from him, probably wouldn't be the best guy to get a quote from. Great guy in the locker room, like, brought the whole team together, made lots of jokes, everyone loved him, but, like, he wasn't the best at answering questions for the cameras.
There's a picture of him with glasses on in the, you know what I'm talking about? And there's a sticker. There's a Louis Vuitton sticker on the glasses.
Yeah. That was one thing that Mo definitely brought to the Blazers, was the concept of wearing suits and very nice clothes, like dressing up before every single game.
Oh, good.
Like suits, socks, everything. Like, I swear, now everybody on the team has like at least 4 different, like, really nice suits. That they wear it every game. I think I saw Will Barton wearing a teal suit the other day. And
teal?
That's got to be Mo. That's the work of Mo.
One time we got a PR email from we being Portland Roundball Society, where I write. I don't know if people who listen to this know I write.
Great site. I recommend I recommend all the recaps.
Thank you. Thank you.
Roundball.
I write the recaps. I do. I did crayon drawings yesterday. guys, I don't take what I do seriously enough. We got a PR email from a suit company about Terry coming into their store, and it had like these washed out pictures of Terry looking at suits in a t-shirt, and it was the eeriest thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to mention who the company was. I can't even remember, but
I remember, I forget what it was. It was some kind of coaches association thing, and I saw one of the photos was Terry getting fitted for a suit. But I mean, the Blazers take it seriously, but
Terry can wear one. Terry's all right.
Terry can wear a suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely wore that Dr. Jack one.
That was a good day.
That was good. That was a good one. But Blazers easy schedule. It's going to be interesting when they go against these West teams on the road. I think Mike actually wrote a column for us last Sunday.
And the other crazy thing about it is that it's not for a while.
Yeah.
This is happening. Like, they've had an easy schedule already.
They've taken care of business.
And their next 5 games are against shitty teams.
Yeah, they're awful.
Yeah.
Like, Denver kind of maybe alive?
Nah.
Nah?
I don't know.
I don't even know, like, I kind of...
Dead cat always bounces twice,
you know? Yeah, I mean, like, they have Ty Lawson. Like, I mean, they had to win some games. Like, he's good. And, but...
I was watching Denver recently, and they had Mozgov, Gallinari, Chandler, Lawson, Aflalo. And I remember thinking, oh my god, that was a lineup I was obsessed with 3 years ago.
Yeah, when they were gonna... That's the thing that was... When the Blazers were beating down Denver that one game where they scored like 84 or whatever on it, was like, all I thought about was how good Denver was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And just...
It was such a delicate thing.
Oh, gosh. It's so crazy. It's just like... They were so good, and now they're they were so bad. It was...
I really, I mean, this is such a... I really think that that's that's the case study in what a good, competent executive can do for your team. Because Ujiri left, and immediately they signed Nate Robinson and J.J. Hickson.
The J.J. Hickson contract, like...
Hickson is... hey, we both watch the Blazers.
Yeah.
J.J. Hickson is very bad.
He's not good at all.
He is not a contributing basketball player at all. He's very bad. Here is a thing. I don't know. So they jettisoned Hickson. Thank God. And they signed Lopez. And Lopez is not as good a numbers rebounder.
Yeah, exactly.
But immediately, Aldridge goes from like 8 boards a game to 11 because Lopez is so good at boxing out.
He actually did his job. You know, it's funny, when I was an intern for the Blazers, I wasn't allowed to, I couldn't really call out J.J. Hickson's play.
No,
but I looked at the lineups, and the Blazers rebounded better with Luke Babbitt on the floor than they did with J.J. Hickson, because Luke Babbitt actually blocked out.
I think their rebounding...
So I'd rather have Luke Babbitt on my team than J.J. Hickson.
I think their rebounding rate with Hickson... it was like 20-some-odd-ish in the league. And then they got Lopez, and their rebound rate last year was like...
Top 10 or something
top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very bad. He's very bad at basketball.
Yeah. I mean, we don't... Yeah, he is.
And Nate...
I like Nate.
I don't.
I like Nate for what he does, but I don't value him at anything more than just like... If you're down by 15, maybe throw him into the game and see what happens.
Maybe something happens.
Either you maybe come back, or you're down by 30 and the game's over, and that's that.
But hey, Nate played, so people got their money's worth.
Yeah.
Nate's a money's worth player. Nate's always going to give you your money's worth of something.
What misses three-pointers, epic comebacks?
Lillard's good. I don't know. Lillard and Aldridge have been so...
They're both
going to
be All-Stars. I think it's a foregone conclusion that both of them should be
on the All-Star team. There's just nothing to talk about.
No, that's the thing. It's like, I think I noticed that Lillard is rebounding the ball a little bit better this year. But that's like the only thing I really noticed that's different.
I haven't looked into this. Is his defense doing anything?
I think it is. I think it's better. I have been of this camp since about the Houston series last year. That Damian Lillard isn't as bad of a defender as we think he is.
Oh man, I do not agree. Go ahead.
I think his biggest issue is getting over screens, which he's gotten better at, and that was a positioning thing. And then in the playoffs, the Blazers were switching like the 1-2 pick and rolls or whatever the pick and rolls were with James Harden, and Lillard was guarding James Harden and keeping him away from the hoop and making him force mid-range jumpers.
What I've always thought, I thought in his first year he was apocalyptic. Very bad.
Oh.
Unbelievably bad.
He didn't know where he was going any possession.
I thought in the second year he got to a point where he wasn't getting creamed on dribble penetration literally every time out. But if you put him behind a pick, it just was kaput. I don't know if I have a strong opinion about it so far this
year. I think it's definitely better. I think he definitely gets into guys a little bit more. Also, maybe a little credit goes to Tom Thibodeau. Coached him a lot in the Team USA camp.
Team USA.
And they did cut Lillard, but...
disgusting.
Lillard...
I'm coming for you, Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
I got into the microphone so we would hear...
you meant that.
Textures in my voice.
You meant that.
Yeah.
Except
he meant he didn't play over the summer, which is probably a good thing for them.
But
team we're for.
Yeah, no, but Lillard... I mean, Thibodeau loved, he says his defense, thinks Lillard's defense is better this year. But also, you know, Lillard credited him with getting him excited to play defense because he didn't really like it. I mean, he admittedly, as much.
The barometer for me on that,
I'm not saying he's first team all defense.
No. No, please, nobody thought you were.
No, okay, cool. I just need to throw that out there.
Okay. This is totally arbitrary, probably not a good way to think about something, but my personal barometer for it is going to be when they play Golden State. Because when they played them last year, like whether or not Curry got a crack open three-pointer depended 100% on did they run a high screen and roll with Curry. And every time they didn't, I just thought, why aren't they doing that? They're like, it's murder. It's killing them.
Yeah.
they should be doing this until the Blazers do something desperate to stop it.
Right. Yeah, just like, you know, everybody rush out on Curry or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but because Lillard would just...
Yeah. No, I mean, well, and also, I mean, credit to Bogut because he's a massive, amazing screen setter.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess, you know, Mike Conley had a very good game. But, you know, they switch Batum on him some, a little bit. I mean, they do sometimes a cross-match.
Because
Blazers switch almost. That's one thing they're doing this year is they're switching a lot more pick and rolls than they were before.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either.
I mean, now Lopez is really good at dropping back, but...
And I think also, I mean, Lillard, as long as you don't get Lillard trapped behind the screen, I think most of the time their defense is okay.
But they've been better by possession this year.
Yeah.
Significantly better. I think unsustainably better.
You think unsustainably better?
Yeah, I think probably unsustainably better.
Really?
Yeah, they've been a lot better without any with one personnel change.
I think part of it, and this may be, I remember, you know, I think they have made meaningful steps. I think Stotts always likes to cite that they were top 10 defensively, I think, in the second half of last year, after the All-Star break, I think is what he's talking about.
Okay.
But I think that just the fact that they have an idea, because last year they got this new system with the ice pick and roll, all that stuff, where Lopez drops back and all that stuff. They drop back at the free throw line, all that stuff.
They do the...
The Chicago, Indiana.
I thought that it was sort of closer to bastardized Indiana defense because Lopez doesn't cover outside
right.
at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but still, yeah, exactly. It's a bastardized form of Indiana, San Antonio, Chicago. That's what they look for. But,
Chicago, but I think Chicago probably
blitzes a little bit more.
Blitzes does icy stuff out there a little more, but.
And
personally, look, I'm not trying.
No,
I'm not trying to step on your feet. I apologize. You got a beautiful teal sweater on today.
This is a great conversation.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's some background noise.
Ambient noise.
Ambient noise. This is the hippest place in Vancouver, Washington, people.
Come to Torque Coffee. That's where we're
at. Torque Coffee.
Torque Coffee. Get that coffee.
That's where the Kings of Vancouver.
What were we talking about?
I think they've probably been unsustainable.
Oh, yeah. I just think that they all know their defense a little bit better. Like, the fact that they didn't have any idea how to play this defensive scheme before, and, I mean, Terry is a Thibodeau. He's not going to, he's not going to be, like, killing these guys to get it right. But,
yeah.
You know, he's been, they've been about the defense, and all their talk about how they're going to be better defensively. And, I mean, most of the time, their weak side defense has been a little bit better. They're not falling asleep as much as they were, where like they just like literally would not go over to, you know, whatever, the nail and help on the suck in more. And they have gotten a little bit better at that. And their transition defense has been much better, with the exception of Memphis and last night when Andrew.
Memphis is good though. I think Memphis.
Andrew Wiggins was going to puke and beat them down court like last night, but they remedied it.
Shabazz got him last night.
Shabazz was good.
Back cut stuff.
Yeah.
I was writing about this today.
Shabazz was good.
Did you see the Nike hoop somebody played in?
No, I did not see that.
I did. If you would have told me that was how Shabazz Muhammad was going to get his career high, just almost exclusively on back cuts and junky stuff, I would have said, no way.
Yeah.
Because he scored like, he gunned 36 points in that game, and I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, they don't, Minnesota doesn't shoot any threes. They play like they were playing in the 90s.
Yeah,
I think they had like 9 threes yesterday.
Yep.
But that's an interesting team. It would have been cool to see a healthy Wiggins.
Yes, it would.
But.
I really half watched that game because I was doing a drawing recap.
Of course.
Sorry.
No.
I'm very bad at discussing that particular game.
Well, we can move on.
Yeah, I did it.
Unsustainable. That's fair because they don't have a track record of having sustainable top 10 defense. So that'll be interesting to see. I think they actually were top 10 last year when they went on that like 11 game winning streak. They were top 10 for a minute and then they kind of faded off. So yeah, we'll see if they can keep it up.
I'm gonna look at my thing real quick.
Of course.
I usually cut this out, but I left it in today because I didn't want to. The bench is better. We already talked about that, Marcus. I'm out of Blazer topics thus far.
Okay.
So let's get into the real shit. You cover high school sports for the Columbian. Is this true?
This is true.
You cover Vancouver Clark County High School sports.
I do football during football season. State swimming. When we have young competitive swimmers from Clark County battling for state championships.
I have two major questions.
Yes.
The first is, what is this like?
It is.
What is it like to report on a high school game?
It's actually, in terms of football, you've got to pay attention to every play. Because we keep track of statistics as well.
Oh my God!
That's honestly probably a bigger key part of doing the football coverage than maybe perhaps the other actual game story.
So what do you use? Do you use a program?
It's not a program. It's a little sheet. It's got like grids, and basically you put in like yards on that play, and then there's like a little line, and then that's the total. Yards, and then you just keep going. So yards on that play,
and like you mark if there's a down and stuff. And
yeah, I'll write down like every down, or like I don't keep yards, touchdowns, pass attempts, carries, all that stuff. We don't do defensive stats or anything like that. We're not doing DVOA or anything, crazy, but we do the basic stats, and that's probably the hardest part about doing the high school games.
You have to
watch every single play, at least in football.
Are you the only person who's doing it?
No, I mean we have every one of our reporters that goes out to a game.
I mean at the game, are you the only person who's taking statistics?
There are statistics things for each team, and teams keep track of their own statistics and stuff like that. But
what?
A lot of times we're told to keep track of it, because a lot of times, say there's a running back or something for some other team, and some coach might be wanting to make them look a little better, and sometimes the stats might be off, the stats sometimes may be a little juiced, so that's why we do it.
Oh my God. So are your stats the stats of record? Do they keep a record? Or?
I think we do, in some form or another, keep track of leaders and stuff like that.
But the league doesn't.
Yeah, the league doesn't do that. No, there's no, like, the WIAA does not keep track of, like, statistical leaders of rushing yards in, the greater St.
That's
Helens,
the
like,
Washington
whatever.
Something.
Interscholastic
Athletic Association.
Boom. We got it. But, yeah, that's... I would say it's just like, you can do that. A lot of people, old school reporters will do that during basketball games.
Yeah,
they'll
mark
every basket and do that. But, it's with NBA.com stats and all that stuff, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like,
they pretty much expect you to tweet during games now, pretty much, right?
Yeah, and that's an expectation. Also, during high school stuff, there's a lot, you got to do score updates because, Twitter is the main avenue for people in the area or people who are interested in high school sports to get the scores from high school sports, because there's no, high school ESPN where they're gonna.
Yeah.
So we're in charge of updating all that stuff and making sure it goes out. So that's why occasionally like my @EricAnderson Twitter timeline will be streamed with lots of high school sports updates, because that's how we keep people informed.
Do you remember? Twitter during basketball games. Is... I remember. Were you a part of the conversation about burritos last year?
I have been part of basketball Twitter discussions about burritos,
but like
before.
during a bad Blazer game.
Yes, I was part of that.
During a bad Blazer game,
Casey and I believe also with
at least three credentialed reporters who are at the game, and like three Blazer Twitter people were having a protracted argument about what the best burritos in the city were and whether or not they were authentic enough.
Yes, I remember this discussion because I have very strong opinions about Mexican food.
I didn't know. So what's the best Muchas Gracias?
What's the best Muchas Gracias?
Yeah.
I would say the one in Salem, the original.
Get out. It's the one in Hazeldale.
It's the one in Hazeldale?
Obviously. The one that is in the converted A&W.
Actually, I will send you my comment about the original Muchas Gracias being the best. I'm going to say the South Salem Muchas Gracias.
South Salem.
Yeah, because the original one got caught serving Nutria.
Serving what?
Nutria.
What is Nutria?
Like an otter type.
Oh my God.
Like a river creature. They live in like the creek behind the Muchas Gracias, and apparently they were serving it. So
were
that's
they
why I'm,
trapping although, it?
I don't know how they were hunting or getting the nutria, but it seems like it's pretty easy to get. I remember in college, I lived at my old fraternity house, and we had a creek, and we often had nutria come onto the lawn. So
did
to
you
think that
catch them and kill
no,
them and eat them?
No, we would not, because that's I think that's they'd be breaking some kind of law. But yeah, I'm pretty certain that the Muchas Gracias in I believe off of the lane off of Lancaster, somewhere in central Salem, got caught serving
the home of Muchas Gracias.
The home of Muchas Gracias.
One time I was in the Muchas Gracias in Hazeldell, and me and my friends would go there and play board games. They have a lot of tables there.
Okay.
And some kids were there, and they left. And we didn't note these kids in particular. And then all of a sudden, a car drives up, a kid runs into the Muchas Gracias, and he throws a whole bottle of hot sauce right over us. Almost got my board game, my expensive European board game.
Whoa.
Throws it right over us, smashes into the window behind the thing and explodes on the window. And these kids drove off. Bunch of little shits.
Oh, what assholes.
Yeah.
God. That's, and, you know, shame of wasting hot sauce on top of that.
That's good hot sauce.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Muchas Gracias green sauce.
I agree. The Muchas, the other one's, but the green sauce.
The
lot
green
of flavor.
Sauce is good. Yeah, very
a lot
good.
Of flavor.
Very good. Yeah, the other one, not so much. It's a little. It's just spice. It just feels like it's just hot.
Yeah.
Not a lot of flavor.
Yeah. What are you here for? What are you here for? The flavor, the spice, right?
Yeah.
So, what is the oddest thing you've seen happen at a high school game?
Oh, man. I would like to say the music selection at the Washington State swimming meet is very odd to me.
Like in the
arena.
The DJ.
I've tweeted about it before. I believe the last time I was there, they play lots of Schoolboy Q, and then they'll play. I remember they were playing High for This by The Weeknd before, and I was like, is this the message we're going to be sending to our high school athletes? And then at the same swim meet, I saw a sign that said 0 to 100 real quick. Shout out to Drake. So that was, you know,
I have no idea who Drake is.
I think Drake's made it. I mean, once he's getting into the swim meet.
Who's Drake?
Drake is a musician from Toronto. He's
like a guitar player?
He's a rapper.
Oh. Huh.
Global ambassador for the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah. He sits courtside at Raptors.
Exactly. Games. He's basically an assistant coach for Dwayne Casey.
Has he done anything else?
Maybe I think he did a teenage soap opera.
Oh, Degrassi.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was Wheels on that. Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Did they call him Wheels on that?
Maybe. I didn't watch a lot of Degrassi, I'm going to be honest.
Might have been offensive if they did. All right, last thing. The audience needs to hear about it. A few weeks ago, during a game with the Nuggets, Nate Robinson got a cut on his elbow. Is this true? This is true.
Yes.
You don't need to answer. We all know it's true. And Mike Rice, an announcer for the Blazers, the color man.
The Wild One.
Yes, known colloquially as the Wild One, said, it's a good thing Nate got that cut in Denver because there's vampires in the Rose Garden. He said what they call it. No, he didn't say.
Right.
But
right,
I don't.
Right,
I'm not.
Right.
You know.
I don't. And I, you know, I'm not writing anything, so I'm not gonna call it what they want us to.
Yeah.
Call
nobody.
It.
You know. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody. Nobody pays me to call it that.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
No product placement.
No.
Unless you're Field Roast.
Yeah. I you know, they provide the Oregon Health Plan or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway. So he gets a cut, and then Mike Rice says it's a good thing that didn't happen in the Rose Garden, because there's vampires that live there. And then Mike Barrett goes, what'd you say? And then they never talked about it again. Now, here on this podcast, we have a crusade against vampires in the NBA. You may or may not know this. If you don't listen, I don't blame you. It's very hard to listen to. I'm very irritating. So, reporter boy, what do you know about the Portland Trail Blazers' relationship to vampires?
You know, I don't ever see any garlic.
Oh my god. You know, I know you do food reviews.
Yeah.
Have you had garlic fries?
I've not. I don't even know where I could find garlic fries, to be honest.
And you are the writer who probably knows more about where to get food.
I've yet
in the Rose Garden than any other writer.
I've yet to find garlic fries. And maybe they exist.
Does the Salt and Straw in there have their patented garlic ice cream?
That is a review that has yet to be done, the Salt and Straw review.
You haven't done a Salt and Straw review yet?
No, I have not.
I would only review Salt and Straw every week.
That requires some investigation, because that's one thing I can definitely confirm for you. Is that
there are no garlic fries.
There's no garlic fries, at least in my, to my knowledge. So
I've taken off my glasses.
I
feel like I've seen some new truths here today about vampires in the NBA. Join the conversation on twitter.com, hashtag no vamps in the NBA. Wow, thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Corbin, for having me on.
Hey, and thank you for being on today.
Thank you, and I'm glad I could illuminate a little bit.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks once again to Eric. It was a genuine pleasure speaking to him. And thanks to Torque Coffee for hosting us. Torque is located at 501 Columbia Street in Vancouver, Washington, 98660. They give me a free slice of pie on my way out. So, I mean, don't expect that kind of treatment. You're not a prominent podcast host like myself, but still good coffee, I'll bet. You can follow Eric on Twitter at BlazerBanter, BlazerBanter, where he writes about the Blazers. And you can follow me at Corbina Smith, CorbinaSmith, where I promote all of the various writings I do. Playing us out this week, the Cleveland Orchestra, circa 1939, with a recording of Sibelius's Finlandia. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday.